Good evening. Thankful for everyone that's here. Thankful for the opportunity to preach God's word again. You know, I endeavor to preach the whole counsel of God, and you know, there are things that are the whole counsel of God that sometimes aren't as fun to talk about as others. And one of these topics is death. But the Bible speaks of death, and death is a subject that is important to us to understand. And so, don't have a PowerPoint. Death, by definition, is a separation. Physical death is the separation of the spirit from the body. In James chapter 2, in verse 26, James writes it very simply, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The body absent the spirit is dead." In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says there that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so God is the one who breathes that breath into man. And didn't come out the way it did in... Oh well, we'll go with it. When the spirit leaves the body, then so does life. It is the spirit that brought life to the body that God made of the dust of the ground. And when that body and that spirit are separated, that is what death is. Spiritual death, though, is the second death. We're all going to die the first death. But we don't all have to die the second death. The second death, spiritual death, is a separation of the soul from God. We know in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, as we looked at this morning, that sin is what separates us from God. It's not that God cannot save. It's not that God cannot hear. But our sins and our iniquities have come between us and God and have separated us from God. Thus, if we live our entire life thus separated from God, then we're going to spend eternity separated from God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, it says there, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." And so death is life's greatest mystery. There's no one on this earth that has suffered death that has come back and told us exactly what it's like. The Bible gives us a picture of death. God tells us a bit about death. But it is the greatest mystery there is. So it's only natural that men would fear death. You know, only the faithful Christian has the reason to face death with absolute confidence. Even though a faithful Christian does not know everything about death, there is no need for him or her to be afraid. As David wrote in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." There is no need to fear for the faithful child of God. The face of the death is nothing to be faced with fear. It is to be faced with, it's something that we're ready for. You know, God has promised to protect us, to protect those that are His. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, He says there, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth we shall have wars." But notice, God is overlooking and he is watching over those who are his. He's promised to protect us. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," as David said. And so we're going to notice eight things that are awful or wonderful about death. And so the first one I want us to understand, and the most important maybe, is that death is an ending. To the unbeliever, it is indeed the end. The unbeliever or one who is not faithful to God can see nothing beyond the grave. Those who are unprepared for death have a horrible surprise awaiting them. In Luke chapter 12, you know, Jesus talks about a rich man. He's so rich and he's so wealthy that he doesn't even have room to store all of his goods. So he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones, and I'm going to rest and take it easy. I'm going to say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You know, take thine rest and be easy. But in verse 20, the Lord said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The rich man found death to be the end of his previous lifestyle. At death, it is the end. There will be no more chances, no second chances, no more opportunities. That is the end. It is finished. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 makes it plain. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death comes to everyone. It is an appointment that every one of us will meet. Judgment is the next thing after that. And so death is an ending, but on the other hand, death is a beginning. For the unbelieving and the unfaithful, death is the beginning of eternal damnation. In Psalm 37, beginning in verse 35, he says, I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. And then Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 to 46, as we again observe this morning, then will he say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. In verse 46, to that same group, he said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It is the beginning of something different, the beginning of an eternal life with God for the faithful child of God. It's the beginning of eternal damnation for those that are outside of the body of Christ. For the faithful child of God, it is the beginning of eternal life. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 down to verse 18. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And he's talking about those who are dead, those who have died, those Christians who have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It is a beginning of eternity. For the faithful child of God, it is the beginning of life eternal with the Father. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So death is an ending to this earthly life, but it is the beginning of eternity. either in heaven with God for the righteous, or with the devil and his angels for the unrighteous. Death is also inevitable. No one can avoid death. It's inescapable. There are a few exceptions. Enoch, remember, Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. We know that Enoch did not see death. Genesis 5, verse 24. Elijah did not see death. Remember, the chariot of the Lord came down from heaven and carried him off. He never saw death. There are those, perhaps, who will be alive when the Lord returns. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain will be caught together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But for the most part, we're going to see death. Death will come to all. It will come to us as a whole. Job chapter 30, verse 23. He said, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Everyone that lives is appointed unto death at some point. Death will happen. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And again, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Even though death is inevitable, it is also, in a sense, uncertain. You know, many in the past as well as in our present day try to predict the end of the world. You know, you get on Facebook and there's that meme that says, when will you die and how will you die? You know, you can click on that and it come up with some kind of silly thing on how you will die or when you will die. And we can't know, though. We know nothing about the time or death either. Death is not only for the aged, but it's for the young as well. Cemeteries are full of little boys and little girls who have met an untimely death. No one knows when death may knock on their door. Now in Genesis 27 and verse 2, Isaac was old. He says, I know not the day of my death. You know, death is like the end of time, which is going to come as a thief in the night. You know, there are people that I graduated high school with, or that I did not graduate high school with. Had a large high school, over 350 in my high school. There were two that did not make it to graduation, and one the day after graduation. And so it comes. It comes as a thief in the night. It's uncertain. We don't know when it might happen. Death is uncertain. It's also a transition. You know, life holds a lot of changes, but nothing compares to the change from physical to the spiritual. Look over with me in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There is a transition that takes place. You know, the wicked will become immortal. They will not be burned up. They will live forever in a burning fire. Jesus says that where the worm dieth not, he talks about that spark of life, that spark of their existence never goes out. They burn for eternity, never consumed by the fires of hell. Will suffer eternally. The righteous will also put on immortality. As a result of this, notice what the faithful Christian can say. Notice with me verse 55 to verse 57. The faithful child of God can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This will be a marvelous transition for the faithful child of God. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Life is a transition, or death is a transition. For the faithful child of God, it is a transition from life to eternal life. To those outside of Christ, it is a transition to eternal damnation. Death is a transition. Death is also the great equalizer. You know, in this life, we see many classes of people. We make divisions based upon race, culture, economic circumstances, social status. But at death, these kinds of divisions, they're going to cease. You know, Jesus tells a story, I don't know that it's a parable, about a rich man and a man named Lazarus. The rich man, he fared sumptuously every day. He was wealthy. He had banquets every day. There was a poor man by the name of Lazarus. He was a leper. The dogs came and licked his sore, and he laid by the rich man's gate, wanting for the eat the dog's leftover scraps. Both men die. The angels carry Lazarus into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man is down in torment. And somehow he is able to see and communicate with Abraham, who is in the place of comfort. And Abraham says to him, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. The rich man and Lazarus, they changed places, so to speak. This was a turnaround in fortune. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 says, For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The rich man had everything. Lazarus had nothing. Neither one took anything with him. They were equal, except the rich man was in torment, and poor Lazarus was comforted because of the way they lived their lives. You know, we brought into this world exactly what we're going to take out of it. You know, Job chapter 1, verse 21, Job said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, it says, The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, As it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. Why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, This is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Death is the great equalizer. It will come upon everyone. The rich can't escape it any more than the poor can. Death is the great equalizer. Death is or can be a curse. And sadly, this is true for the majority of those who have ever lived. For those who have refused to obey God, it would have been better for them to have never been born. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus there said, Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. For the vast majority of people, sad to say, that death is a curse. Notice the torment that Bible says will befall those who are not faithful children of God. You know, just many passages we could look at, but Psalms 11 verse 6. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Matthew chapter 18, verse 9. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and cast into hell. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And then finally, Revelation 14 and verse 11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. Who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Those who are outside of God, outside of Christ, will be tormented forever and ever. Death is a curse for those outside of Christ. And finally, we need to understand that death is a blessing to the faithful few. Death will be a blessing beyond our wildest dreams. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul said that I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Henceforth, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And then Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Death does not have to be a curse for any one of us. Death can be a blessing. Death can be that great transition into eternal life with God. I've tried to show here that instead of fearing death, we should live every day in such a way that we can say, as John did at the end of the book of Revelation, where he said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We need to live our life ready to make that great transition, to take that step out of this world into eternity. We need to make the preparations now in this life. Again, this life is the end. It's our only opportunity. Death is the end of this life. That's what I meant to say. Death is the end of this life. This life is the only opportunity to be right with God. I urge you today, if you are here and you're not in a right relationship with God, you're not in that covenant relationship with Him. Where have you committed your life to following Him? Having believed, confessed your belief, repented of your sins, and been baptized to wash away your sins? Word you today, if you have not done that, to put on Christ in baptism tonight. If you're here today as one who has not been faithful, we urge you to repent. Tonight, if we can help you to be restored or to be added to the Lord's church, please let us know as we stand and as we sing.